Hey, this is Bhaskar Sankara, editor of Jacobin. I know everyone has a podcast these days, but the Dig and Dan Dunfer are really, really good. And Dan needs your help to help pay the people who work on the show and reproduce their labor power. And as every Marxist knows, it's very important. To support this show, go to patreon.com and look up The Dig. That's Patreon, patreon.com. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to The Dig, a podcast from Jacobin Magazine. My name is Daniel Denver, and I'm broadcasting from Providence, Rhode Island. On this show, I normally serve up ice-cold, well-digested takes. Sometimes, however, something important happens, and I find someone who can help me understand it on short notice. Last weekend's election in France, which advanced the far-right National Front's Marine Le Pen and neoliberal centrist Emmanuel Macron to a runoff, is one such depressing eventuality. My guest today is Sebastian Budgen, a senior editor for Verso Books and member of the editorial board at Historical Materialism. Pardon me as I serially butcher French pronunciations. Sebastian Budgen, welcome to The Dig.
Thank you. Well, I'm happy to be here.
So the two main political parties in France seemingly have utterly collapsed, sending Marine Le Pen and Macron to a runoff. What happened?
Well, I think you're right. The political center, the two pillars of the political establishment in France, have, as many predicted, entirely imploded, but perhaps to a degree greater than some were expecting. The French Socialist Party's vote has completely liquefied to 6%, which is the lowest share of the vote since 1969. And the traditional right, led by the candidate François Fillon, has been pushed out of the race in third position, only 0.3%. Or 0.4% more than the vote gained by Jean-Luc Mélenchon, the radical left candidate. So, and the aftermath in both cases is likely to be extremely bloody internally.
There is a bit of a Bernie Sanders-style silver lining here in terms of Mélenchon, the left-wing candidate, who had broken from the Socialist Party a number of years back, rocketing from pretty low numbers a few weeks back to a near win. What do you make of his campaign? And do you think there is a path forward for the French left here? Obviously not in the very short term, but in the longer term?
Yes, yeah, so I certainly think that the campaign that Mélenchon ran was extremely successful in terms of the final result and was, as you say, based on a rocketing high percentage of the vote in comparison with where he started off. As I said earlier, he got virtually the same vote as the candidate from the conventional right, 19%, and you know, came within a whisker of qualifying for the second round. So it definitely was an extremely impressive rise. And it was based on a very impressive campaign in terms of enormous rallies, very impressive amount of mobilization of all sorts of sectors, and big march that he organized in the center of Paris for the Sixth Republic and so on. So it was a definitely extremely impressive campaign, which also relied both on old style techniques such as those and new style use of social media and the internet. As far as what does it portend in terms of the future for the French radical left as a whole, much is up in the air. I mean, of course, there is the second round of the presidential elections first, and then in June there will be the legislative elections, where La France Insoumise, Mélenchon's platform, if you like, because it's not really a party, is standing, and we will have to see how that works out in terms of how many MPs they get and so on. And then, of course, the other question mark is what Mélenchon's personal plans are. He has intimated in the past that this was his last campaign, and it's not impossible that he would stand down and remove himself from the scene. So a lot of those things are up in the air. And of course, you know, the French left remains extremely fragmented. La France Insoumise, as I said, is not a party per se. It's not even a electoral front like the left front was in the front he stood for in 2012, which was an alliance between his left party, the Communist Party, and some other forces. So how this will shake out organizationally is extremely moot at this point.
Why has the far right been so much better poised to take advantage of the economic crisis in Europe than the radical left? And why does a neoliberal candidate like Macron have any support at all in 2017?
Okay, well, on the first point, I think the far right has been successful because they have a message that is coherent on their own terms. They have allied the notion of the attack on what they call ultra-liberalism and globalism with, you know, a series of reactionary but coherent solutions in terms of immigration, protectionism, closing the frontiers, and so on. And I would argue also that they have had much greater clarity than the radical left on one question in particular, which is the question of Europe. They have been campaigning now for a while on a clearly anti-Euro and anti-EU platform, which clearly has a resonance amongst working class and other types of voters from the popular classes. Whereas the radical left and the left in general in France is deeply confused about the issue of the European Union, with many, of course, still looking towards the European Union as some kind of medium to long term solution. So they've had a lot, if you like, they've been at it for longer with a coherent message and a clearer set of answers as far as Europe is concerned. As far as Macron is concerned, well, yes, he is a neoliberal, and there isn't an electoral social base for neoliberal policies in France, so it can indeed look like a paradox. What I think is really to explain the real cause of his success, at least at the moment, is the fact that he appears to be a non-politician politician. He has posed as somebody who is not, it's very ironic because, of course, he's entirely a product of the system and of the establishment in its social, economic, and political dimensions, but he has managed to position himself as somebody who is an outsider, who doesn't come from the political caste, who isn't bound down by the legacy of scandals, of corruption, of various types of pathologies that the political class in France is associated with. And he's traded on that image, and as well as the image of being young and fresh and so on, to position himself as some type of a soft anti-establishment choice. In another place, I described him as the neoliberal candidate with a smile rather than with a snarl, as was the case with Fillon. And that has certainly been successful in winning the support both of center-right and center-left voters. I think the other main cause for his success is that, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy in the sense that the polls have shown him as a candidate who can easily beat Marine Le Pen in a runoff, and people are so concerned about Marine Le Pen possibly winning the second round that he seems like the safest option to avert that eventuality.
What do you think the Le Pen and Macron race will look like? Will the entire political spectrum, and I believe what's referred to as France, a Republican front, come together from center-right to left to defeat Le Pen? Or is it possible that Macron's high-finance neoliberalism will prove too repellent to too many voters?
Well, yes. On the first point, it's already the case that the Socialist Party has unanimously voted to call for a vote for Macron. Almost the whole of the center right has made the same call. François Fillon did last night. Alain Juppé, all the key leaders of the center right. There are a few figures who are kind of hedging their bets by younger figures who are hedging their bets by saying that they're not going to call for any vote in particular. But so far, no serious figure from the center right has come out on the other side, as it were, calling for a vote for Marine Le Pen. So yes, the political establishment has closed ranks behind Macron. Whether this will translate into an electoral mobilization is, of course, yet to be tested, because just because the leaders call for this kind of support doesn't mean that their members or the wider electorate will follow them in sheepish subjugation. Many people on the right will have difficulties swallowing the idea of voting for somebody who was a minister in the PS government, and many people on the left will have problems voting for somebody who, as you say, represents a social and economic program which they find completely repugnant.
And in the person of someone who actually made millions as a finance of all places.
Yes, exactly, in investment banking. So yeah, he really does incarnate the economic elite in a quite flagrant manner. So we will see. I mean, it will be a balance between the difficulty many people have facing the idea of in the face of the idea of voting for him, with the opposite motivation, which is the face of Marine Le Pen and the Front National. The polls at the moment show a very wide victory for Macron. It's quite likely this is going to narrow over the next few days and weeks.
What do you think a Mélenchon-Le Pen race would have looked like, or a Mélenchon-Macron race? Would he have stood a better or worse chance against Le Pen? And how would have Macron-Mélenchon race have scrambled various alliances?
Well, a Macron-Mélenchon face-off would have had the merit of introducing ideological clarity into what is a very muddied and unclear situation. It would have been a straightforward contest between a left social democratic, ambitious and combative agenda on the one hand, and an agenda of simply accepting and deepening the neoliberal order on the other. I think it would have been a very interesting and quite high level presidential runoff. A Mélenchon-Le Pen contest would also have been very interesting. I think it's likely that it would have been a much tighter race, because the Front National has proved itself very effective up to now, as far right as with other far right movements in the past, in trying to recuperate and recycle themes from the radical left. And she would have used that to try and muddy the waters on the key social and economic issues. And of course, she would have accused Mélenchon of being soft on immigration and Islam and so on. And Mélenchon is not the greatest, is not on the strongest ground, given his left nationalist and state secularist blind spots on these issues. So it would have been an exciting contest, I think, full of color and strong strong words. I think the result would have been more up in the air.
This episode of The Dig is sponsored by our Patreon supporters and by Oxford University Press. Today, I want to tell you about an Oxford title that you might find interesting. The Making of Black Lives Matter, A Brief History of an Idea, by Christopher J. LeBron. LeBron traces the historical roots of the Black Lives Matter movement and argues for a renewed focus on equal dignity in society, not just equal rights. The Making of Black Lives Matter, A Brief History of an Idea, by Christopher J. LeBron, out now from Oxford University Press. If Le Pen does lose, as polls indicate, she will. She and the Front, the National Front, have already transformed French politics. Correct. If you look at the current socialist government's statements about Islam, and also particularly the Fillon campaign.
Yeah, I mean the Front National, ever since its emergence in the 1980s, has helped pull the whole political and media establishment to the right on the issues of race, religion, immigration, and so on. And the establishment politicians have simply allowed themselves to be pulled in that direction, or tried to outflank the Front National on these issues. So, yes, the Front National has been very successful in re-articulating the discourse around these issues. What one can hope, perhaps, is that if there is a big defeat for her in the second round, the old demons of the far right and the divisions within it, which are latent at the moment, will be revived. And there's clearly a faction in the Front National that would seize on the opportunity to say that her whole strategy is misguided, and that a more traditional, less national, social platform needs to be that platform needs to be ditched, and a more traditional national liberal neoliberal program needs to be revived. So we will see whether that indeed does happen, or whether she manages to paper over the cracks.
Is there also a camp associated with her father that just can't stand being told that they're not allowed to make public anti-Semitic comments? Is that trouble for some of the far right of this far right party?
Yeah, there's a lot of discontent about different aspects of her program, about the kinds of people that she surrounded herself with, and about the way she's treated some of the, with expulsions and other kind of disciplinary measures, people like her father who want to be able to continue that kind of more explicitly anti-Semitic and racist language. But more seriously, I think, is the question of the economic program, social and economic program, and the kind of different social bases that are represented by the Front National. On the one hand, a more working class northern vote, which is in favor of defending the welfare state. On the other, kind of petit bourgeois based from in the south of France, which is for slimming down the state and for a kind of, as I say, national neoliberal program. That latter course is more clearly represented by her niece, Marion Maréchal Le Pen, who also has much more traditionalist positions on abortion and gay rights and so on.
And that more neoliberal far right base in the South is also the more original base of the party, and the expansion to more working class support and economic nationalism and protectionism is a newer turn that the party's made in recent years.
Yeah, and so how fragile this all is, or how solid it is going to be tested by the results of the second round.
You said earlier that there will be a lot of bloodletting inside the two major parties, which obviously makes sense. In the case of the socialists, I think Hamon got, 5%?
Six, utterly
pathetic. What will that bloodletting look like, do you think? And more broadly speaking, what do the various political parties and orientations in France, how do they come out of this election? What sort of institutional form will the various tendencies take?
Okay, well, that's a broad question. I mean, in the case of the Socialist Party, it's clearly the most dramatic. It's a complete and utter humiliation for the Socialist Party. And the right of the party is already, in the shape of Manuel Valls, the former prime minister, and others, is already seizing on the defeat as an opportunity to try and push through what they have been advocating for a long time, which is essentially the dissolution of the Socialist Party, its rebranding as a democratic party type formation of quote unquote progressives that no longer clearly identifies itself with the left or with the tradition of socialism or social democracy even. So that clearly a right faction wants to do that, push that all the way through, explode the Socialist Party, and then connect with the Macron people and try and reach some kind of coalition with them. The left of the party, depending on how depressed and disillusioned it is by these elections, will try to resist in some form. Some, I hope, will push for some kind of orientation towards Mélenchon and a recomposition of the left on a more clearly combative program. But that's still to be seen. But it's likely to be extremely tumultuous in the case of the socialists. In the case of the right, there will also be, I suspect, a lot of settling of accounts of a personal nature to start with between the different factions. There are a whole series of younger figures who want to get rid of the older generation represented by Fillon, Sarkozy, Juppé, and so on, and carve out a space for themselves. Some of those will be pushing again for an extremely right-wing position of building bridges with the Front National and trying to, some may even imagine at some point, proposing some kind of coalitional politics. Others, more centrist figures, will be looking rather to build bridges with Macron. And support him either in terms of entering the government or from outside. Of course, a lot of this will depend on how the legislative elections shake out and whether these parties manage to recover some of the strength that they've lost with this presidential election. But it's likely, you're likely to see those kinds of arguments and splits in both directions, in both camps. With, of course, as I say, a lot of personal score settling as well, which is likely to be pretty nasty.
Sebastian, thanks very much.
No problem.
Sebastian Budgen is a senior editor for Verso Books and a member of the editorial board at Historical Materialism. Thank you for listening to The Dig from Jacobin Magazine. As Marx once kind of said, while other podcasts have only interpreted the world in various ways, our point is to change it. We are posting new episodes every week, and sometimes, like this week, two. The Dig was produced by Alex Lewis, engineered by Liza Yeager, music by Jeffrey Brodsky. Follow us on Twitter at The Dig Radio, and please find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, where you can subscribe and also leave us a glowing, lovely review. They do help introduce us to new listeners, and so does telling all of your friends. Also, please find us on Patreon and make a monthly contribution to keep this thing going. Even a few bucks is extraordinarily helpful.